From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Last month in New York, a strain of HIV was found that is resistant to all but one anti-AIDS drug. The man carrying the virus is a gay methamphetamine user. He frequently had unprotected sex with multiple partners while he was high. That case has prompted public health agencies around the country to pay closer attention to the connection between methamphetamine use and unprotected gay sex. A warning to listeners, this story by NPR's Ari Shapiro contains some graphic descriptions.
Methamphetamine is not a new drug. Dane is a recovering user who first tried it nearly 30 years ago. Like all of the recovering meth users interviewed for this piece, Dane asked to be identified only by his first name.
The truckers and bikers in the community I grew up in were doing it. A little hick town called Cumming, Georgia, out in the rural, very rural North Georgia mountains.
In rural Georgia in the 70s, people called it Black Beauty, or crank. By the time Dane had grown up and come out of the closet as a gay man, the drug was going by different names. Crystal, Ice, and Tina.
And for me, I thought it was the most incredible thing I'd ever done in my life. It was instant high. It was like liquid power.
Meth stimulates the central nervous system. It allows people to stay awake for days with boundless energy. Philip, another recovering addict, started the drug just 4 years ago when he was 16.
You go to the clubs, and before it used to be ecstasy, you know? Oh, you know where I can get some ecstasy pills? Now they don't even ask you for that. Ecstasy is so outdated, it's not even funny. It's all crystal meth now. It's all crystal meth.
Methamphetamine use has traditionally been associated with white, blue-collar men. But the drug's popularity among urban gay men has been receiving attention in part because the drug makes people want to have sex. Lots of sex. And when you're high on crystal, using condoms seems less important. The few studies of meth use among heterosexuals have indicated that this is true regardless of sexual orientation. Dr. Sabina Hirschfield is deputy director for research and evaluation at the Medical and Health Research Association in New York. She was part of a team that recently completed a study on the sexual habits of gay men.
When we looked at unprotected anal intercourse and drug use risk, crystal users were about 3.5 times more likely to report unprotected anal intercourse than non-users. When we looked at HIV status, crystal users were significantly more likely to report being HIV positive than non-users.
Hirschfield's study, which was presented at a conference last month, also showed that meth users had more sexual partners than non-users. And there's no shortage of ways for gay crystal meth users to meet each other. The internet is like a smorgasbord of websites where racy photographs and explicit descriptions tell interested parties exactly what people have and what they're looking for. Recovering user Philip says he had profiles on every site he could find.
Adam for Adam, Gay.com, Manhunt, AOL chat rooms, menforsexnow.com, Planet Out, XY.com, lots of them. And I think there's more, I just don't remember right now. But I was subscribed to all of them.
As part of his rehab, Philip can now only go online with his parents' supervision. For those who are less internet savvy, nearly every major city has a bathhouse, a sex club where men can hook up with other men. Club Body Center is Miami's local bathhouse. There are public areas and narrow hallways with private rooms on either side. It's $20 for a six-hour room rental. On this Saturday night, there are no vacancies. In one dimly lit room, a skinny, balding man who introduces himself as Georgie lies on a narrow twin bed. He's on his back, naked except for a towel strategically draped between his legs. He's left the door ajar for visitors. When asked about crystal meth, he enthusiastically lifts up the corner of his mattress and pulls out a thumbnail-sized plastic bag. There's a bit of white powder inside. He says he just brought it back from Mexico yesterday. Georgie dips his room key into the bag and pulls out a bump of the powder. He lifts the key to his nose, snorts the crystal, and then offers his visitor a massage. I decline. Georgie would not speak on tape, but another man would, on the condition that he remain anonymous. This man is younger, mid-20s, with big black eyes and a chest that's stubbly from a recent trim. He says he does crystal about once a month.
You think like you're the most gorgeous thing in the world. Like your little rolls, their little like flat fat rolls are gone. Basically, you think you're the hottest, you know, you feel more comfortable and more open to talk to someone when, like, you're really, really painfully shy.
This man says he's never had unprotected sex on meth, but he often sees people who are not as careful.
One guy I remember, he was so up, and I felt bad for him because he was, like, 18 or 19, and someone was without a condom, and I'm like, are you sure you want to continue doing this? Are you sure you don't want to make him put on a condom? And they're like so incoherent, and they didn't want to stop, so I just left the room.
The bathhouse's business director, David D'Amico, says people who are caught doing drugs at his club are barred for life. He says he's had to kick out at least a dozen people in the last year. But, he says, he can't look over his customers' shoulders all the time.
People don't want to be told they're doing something wrong. People know they're doing something wrong. And they don't like to be reminded of it. And they didn't pay their money to come here for me to get in their face.
D'Amico believes his business is helping the gay community.
What we do is certainly by far better than allowing some poor kid drunk in a park and get arrested and get poked by 13 guys or raped or violated, when you can come here to a safe, clean, proper haven with clean towels and free condoms, to pay a small amount of money to enjoy your lifestyle without prosecution.
South Florida has the second highest rate of new HIV infections in the country. The meth problem is hardly limited to Miami, though. The drug has pervaded gay communities in the Northeast, the West Coast, and throughout the Midwest. In Chicago, the local bathhouse is called Steamworks. At 5 a.m. on a Sunday, the building is packed with what one patron affectionately refers to as Tina heads. There are bins full of condoms. Many people are not using them. One crystal user here says he's seen friends stay high on crystal for days. Once they crash, they realize Tina has taken away everything.
There are two realms, hers and yours. You cross over to hers, she ain't gonna let you come back. She'll take you. And she doesn't care how she gets you, she'll take you. You forget it. Your house, your car, everything's gone.
This man, who says he's almost 40, is quick to point out that he doesn't have a problem with the drug.
This is maybe one to two days a week.
That's right, 1 to 2 days a week. He doesn't give his name because he says he's already due in court on drug charges, and he doesn't want to make things worse. Drug enforcement spokespeople were not eager to discuss the problem of methamphetamine use among gay men. Public Affairs Officer Rogene Waite said in an email that the DEA does not keep case information based on what she called sexual preference. She later wrote that she could not search investigations by venues, such as bathhouses, or comment on any current investigation. In Philadelphia, though, the local DEA office recently staged a high-profile methamphetamine bust. 27 people were involved, many of them active in the gay community. Patrick Meehan is the U.S. attorney for the region, and although meth has been widely documented in New York, Washington, and other major eastern cities, he says it's only now coming to the attention of law enforcement officers in Philadelphia.
The greatest concern to us is the introduction of methamphetamine in the region where it has not traditionally been a significant part of the drug culture.
He says he's asked his colleagues in other parts of the country for advice.
They were saying to me, the best thing you can do right now is get out in front and just try not to let it root. Those on the West Coast and in some parts of the South who are seeing it tell me it's not like any other kind of drug epidemic that they've dealt with before.
One of the reasons it's so difficult to deal with is that the drug is highly addictive. At least one study has shown it to be more addictive than cocaine. Joel Ginsberg is executive director of the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association. And he says it's important to look at why people might try this drug in the first place.
I don't think anybody wants their life to fall apart, which happens to many people who use crystal. Crystal is a very seductive, insidious drug, and it seems like a solution to people who may not feel fulfilled in their life. I'm not frustrated with people who choose to use crystal. I'm frustrated with a society that keeps turning out people who want to use crystal.
And according to Mark Cohen, who's president of the United Foundation for AIDS, there are lots of reasons why societal pressures would induce gay people to use crystal.
This drug is the grand escape. It's the escape route from the fear of being HIV positive, of getting HIV, of being gay, of having your families turn their backs on you. It's everything added up altogether, and it's destroying the interlying of our community.
It's a pattern that Dr. Marianne Chazon recognizes. She's vice president for research and evaluation at New York's Medical and Health Research Association, and she worked on the recent study of gay men's sexual habits.
20 years ago,
We had a large syphilis epidemic. We had many, many STDs. And it's beginning, this all went along with HIV transmission, and it's beginning to feel very much like that time again. We have an increase in syphilis. We have an increase in other STDs. We have an increase in new cases of HIV among men who have sex with men. And I think now we have a desperate need for creative, for new, for intensive intervention programs.
Public health officials lament that funding for such programs has dropped off in recent years. Joel Ginsberg of the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association says the key to any successful intervention program will be to change social norms that make drug use acceptable within the gay community.
How do we change those norms? I think we need to take it from a lot of different angles. We need to have social marketing campaigns that tell people how dangerous Crystal is and how many lives it's wrecking. We need a lot more access to treatment. We need more research about what treatments will be effective. And we need more treatment that's focused on gay and bisexual men.
But researcher Shazan says we also need perspective.
There's no question that it's a serious problem, and it's a very serious problem for those who are using crystal meth. And certainly in situations where drug use and high-risk sex go hand in hand, like sex parties, it's very, very prevalent. But that isn't the whole population.
In fact, in Shazan's most recent survey of more than 3,000 gay men who visited gay-themed news, chat, and other websites, 20% of respondents reported drug use in their last sexual encounter. That means 80% of the men responding did not use drugs. For Philip, the 20-year-old recovering user, that statistic offers little comfort. The statistic he's more concerned with is one that he heard in rehab.
Something like out of 9, only 3 or 4 make it that don't relapse. And they would basically point out, you know, out of this group, only 3 of you are going to make it, you know?
Philip says he'd look at himself in the mirror and wonder whether he would be one of the 3.
So am I afraid to relapse? Yes. It does scare me. It does. It really does. Because I know where I can get to. I really do know where I can get to the point. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all.
Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Miami.
For information about resources on dealing with methamphetamine addiction, you can visit our website, npr.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.